seats I was here. And I hope you are the same people I left. But I'm sure new people have come, and we are happy with what is happening in Saturday PM, where people are able to go through the Word of God chapter by chapter and just get to see what God is saying. There is a myth out there that younger people don't want serious teaching, but as you can see, what we are having here is plain Bible exposition. Amen. Now, I come in fear and trembling because Dr. Karita was here, and I listened to some of what he had to say, and he said very powerful things. And some of the things he was preaching cover even my session, and they go up to the end. So I have to look for some things that have not been said and say them. So I have to pray right now so that things go well. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this session that we're going to be feasting on your word. May you give us clarity and understanding, and may your Holy Spirit open our minds and hearts. And also may you anoint me as I share your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know what Linda wanted me to say more. She introduced me, but I am married. That's what I should add. Yeah, 2 children. I've been to school. That also should be said. Yeah, and I passed some of the exams, not all. Just like many of you. And here we are. Wow. Exodus chapter 9. I heard that there is tennis in the Bible. Did you hear that? It's actually tennis in the Old Testament. It says that Moses served in the court of Pharaoh. How could he do that if there was no tennis being played? What was he serving, you know? Yeah, you have to find something to be happy about. Otherwise, your life is going to be boring. I have a title to what I'm going to share today, and that is Not a Hoof Left. Not a Hoof. Do you know what is a hoof? A hoof is this thing that animals have, you know, as they are walking. And actually, in Leviticus, if you had a hoof that is divided, I think you could eat that animal. But if it's like a rabbit whose hoof is not divided, it should not be eaten. But there are some people who have eaten the rabbit. Not only so, they have eaten it during this time of prayer and fasting. But that God has forgiven you even for eating a rabbit. I'm joking. You can eat anything you want. You know, Jesus said, eat rabbits, you know, whatever you feel like eating. So we have gone through the plagues. And just to remind you, and don't show anything, you guys, until I tell you, because I want to keep things as surprises, eh? So let me remind you how the plagues went. First of all, the Nile water was turned into blood, right? Secondly, frogs came. Thirdly, there was lice. And I think Karita was saying some of these words, some of these creatures, we are not quite sure exactly what they were. But are there people who have never seen a louse? That's the singular of the word lice. Anybody who has never seen a louse? Yeah, I thought so. The rest of you, mliona wapi? Then there were flies. And again, they say it's not just house flies. Could have been many flies that came. Then the livestock died, and Pastor Karita said that there are the livestock that were out in the field, because something had been warned that if your animals are out in the field, they are going to get... I'm getting lost. No. This is livestock that were in trouble. Then there were boils, all right? Then there was hail that was destroying some animals again, right? And the trees and so on. Then number 8 is where we are today, and that is locusts and darkness. Just a reminder of a few things as we go on before I get to my discussion proper. There are times that the magicians also produced something. In the beginning, you know, they started by also, even when the rod of Aaron was turned into a snake, they also turned theirs. And there is a somewhere in the small epistles there where it even gives the names of those people, Jans and Jambres. Have you ever heard of those guys? They are the ones, according to some other books, that were competing with Moses. A point reached, of course, where it was becoming very hard. For example, when the boils came, the magicians could not stand and compete with Moses, because I guess some of the boils were on the sole of their feet, you know. So how do you even appear where the competition was taking place? So things got rather bad. What I find interesting is that where they were also producing certain things, like frogs, they produce also frogs, how does it help, you know, to produce more frogs? It actually just adds to the problem. And no matter, God just let them, okay, you produce those things that you want to come up with, because they actually are bringing more problems to their nation than assisting them. And sometimes, believe it or not, I also get interested in the occult kinds of things, you know, these things about Illuminati, you know, those things, devil worship. Not all the time, like some people here, just once in a blue moon. There's some guys who are always trying to track the latest thing, you know, in the occult. and I don't know whether it's only Kenya, but somebody said that if you write a book, like one that was written by a guy called Emmanuel Eni some years ago, the title was Delivered from the Powers of Darkness. He said if you took the same book and put a different cover saying Jesus set me free, and you hand two stands where those books were being sold, the one about darkness will sell more. Unfortunately. So I follow a little bit. But do you know that Egyptian symbology is one of the main things in the occult? For example, and this is now an open secret, it's no longer anything that somebody should consider to be special information, the American dollar, right? The $1, and there are that pyramid. There's a pyramid there, there's an eye, and there's all kinds of questions about what that is, but they really are not looking like very good things. That pyramid is an Egyptian pyramid. And so the whole thing that was happening, this what we call power encounter, was real. It was not a joke. Because some people may want to say that it was, you know, there are magicians who are witches and magicians who are clever. The ones who remove a rabbit from a hat. The rabbit was already there. You just don't know how they will collect it. But there are those who actually come up with a new rabbit. Like, they take this water and make it into a rabbit. Or two rabbits for that matter. From one bottle of water. When that happens, you're actually dealing with another power. And what you're having here is what you call power encounter. And one power has to prevail over the other. Okay? And we Africans understand that very well, because our worldview is full of spirits. In fact, some people are already wondering whether their neighbor is a spirit. I'm not too much into this, but recently I was driving from Kikuyu and I saw this lady who was asking for a lift. And for once, I thought, this is actually a demon. I'm telling you. And I refused to stop. I'm telling you, because the eyes, there's a way they looked. And I've heard these stories, you know, how in Mombasa, So I thought, let me be safe. Could be a human being, but what do I lose by just letting this person go their way? So we have those issues. And what we are saying is that Christianity actually offers a solution to those power encounters. And don't worry. You know, some of you are afraid that you have never seen a miracle. Just go to a place where it is needed. It will happen. Usually the problem is God does not manufacture miracles for cosmetic purposes. All right? If you go to even Northern Kenya here or some other one of our counties where the gospel is not known, and you proclaim the gospel, you are likely to see amazing stuff happening. I think God has stopped doing many in Nairobi because these people have seen so many things and they are not believing. So it's like Jesus said, I'm not going to do any other miracle. You remember that time they told him, we want to see a miracle. He said, the only sign I'll give you is that of the prophet Jonah. The way Jonah stayed for 3 days and three nights. In other words, you have to wait until I die. So I'm not doing anything for you in the meantime. I want to remind you of the gods. So that's the next slide. There is a slide about the gods. Gods. the idea that there were gods that were being dealt with in this whole power encounter. At some point, those things will come. And I got that from a place called, there you go. I wondered whether we can read. But I found it from a place called BibleChats.org. If you want to write that down, they have all kinds of charts. Like this one, it puts all the two gods together. Your water turned into blind, you have whatever that is, happy, Osiris, and so on. But, and then, there are the frogs, happy, hecked, lies, Seb, the earth god, flies, what? Watches, what is it? Watch it. What is it? The fly god of that place. Then you have some gods to do with cows, Tar, Nevis, Hathor, Ammon, Egyptian gods associated with bulls and cows. Boils. Again, you had to do with Sekhmet, Serapis, Imhotep. That deals with healing. Let's go on. Yes. Hail. This god is a nut. It's really a nut. Then you have Isis and Seth and Shu. Okay? Then, now today we are in locusts, and one of the gods that is being dealt with is Serapia, that is an Egyptian deity, protector from locusts. Then when it comes to darkness, there are several sun gods, Re, Amon, Re, Aten, Atum, Horus, and also the moon god there called Thoth. The death of the firstborn deals with all the gods. And I don't even want to go there. Okay. Now we can pause again so that I do some other things. Thank you, Amos, for being my friend. So there are two of them happening here, two plagues. And that is the locusts from verse 1 to 20. And then from the other, from verse 21 to the end, we will deal with the darkness. So, I was in at a place called Jaquat on Wednesday, where I'm doing exposition on First Peter. So they said that somebody is going to come and recite, and this girl recited three chapters, and was already going into the fourth. Then they said that that's enough for now. She did three chapters mfululizo. Fululizo is a Swahili word which means continuous. Continuous. So I'm hoping that next Saturday, somebody like this one here will do chapter 11. When you have completed to memorize, you tell Linda. She's the one to make the decision, not me. So then the Lord saying to Moses in chapter 10, go to Pharaoh. The word is Pharaoh, you know. Some of you like to say Pharaoh. No. This thing, Hebrew is closer to Swahili. So if you pronounce it in Swahili, most likely you are right. Or Arabic, if you speak Arabic, all those things are from the same family. So it is Pharaoh. Pharaoh. What's that? Pharaoh. This thing is Pharaoh. So go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the officials and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and your grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord. Let's try to deal with that first. And you have already discussed quite a bit about this hardening of the heart. Okay? The principle in the Bible is that God does not harden anybody's heart who has not hardened it himself. So that in Romans chapter 1, since they did not think the knowledge of God is something worth, it says he gave them over into some debased mind. Okay? Let me just say this so that you see how debased people have become. One time I was invited in the premarital class, and I think there are some people here who are in that class, and I forget, I think you were talking about the godly, God's view of marriage or something, and I wanted to research on submission. So I went to the internet and I typed submission. Guess what you get when you type submission? It actually does not talk about marriage, it talks about sex. And that some people are the submissive type, you know, and dominant type. I didn't know that that's what I would get. And you see, Google goes with the things that are up here that are being looked for by people. That means that is what people are more concerned about than what actually submission means. I didn't plan to talk about submission. So, Linda, please forgive me all of my sins. But that is how people have gone, how far people have gone, and God has given them over. Once God tries to tell you to stop something, and then but you just keep doing it, he actually facilitates you so that you go even farther than you might have gone, because that's what you have chosen. He allows you to do it. It's the same thing about going to hell. God has been trying to call you, but you say, I don't want anything about God. Then God just makes it even better that there is no chance of seeing me anymore. And now you stay there on your own. So that's the principle of this thing, that God is hardening Pharaoh's heart. And then God uses all things for his glory. So even this hardening will be used for his glory. And God says to these people that I'm doing this for the Egyptians to know that I am God. But here we are introduced to the other fact, that so that you can tell your children and children's children. King James, I think, says children's children. NIV now says grandchildren, because NIV tries to make life easy for all of us. And we are grateful. And so this is something that God wants to be etched into the minds of the Israelis so that they also remember how God delivered them. Okay? The type Pharaoh here, Firauni, he is a type of Satan. And the whole thing of being in Egypt is bondage that sometimes Christians are in. Sometimes also nations are in. Before I came here, I was speaking at a graduation party of somebody who got a PhD. And I was with Paul. Paul, where are you? It's my witness that I was there. And so I was telling them how good this thing is. And God has given this guy this education to help us. Because we really are in trouble. I said that when people come from places like Rwanda and Burundi, and they see Thika Superhighway, they think, wow, this is London. But the truth of the matter is, we are really an oppressed country. We are really living below where we should be. With all the resources we have, we should not be at the point. So as a nation, there are issues to be dealt with, but also at a personal level, there are things that the devil has kept you in bondage. But Moses is a prophetic voice that is coming to remove you out of that bondage. Is that too spiri? Mama, you can handle this kind of thing. Because I know you guys are academic. You like, you know, Hebrew words. And I have one word that I'll tell you so that you also appreciate. I know a few words. So he says, I'm going to do this. The other question that may arise is, why does God take all this time? Why go through all these 10, plagues? He can just do with one. All right? But part of the reason may be that he has to deal with all the gods. Each, every god must have its day. And so that there is complete understanding that Jehovah is the true God. Now you appreciate when you are reading the Old Testament, part of the issue is the multiplicity of these gods. And that God, Jehovah, is the only true God, is a major thing that must be shown. So that's the thing. Then Moses and Aaron, verse 3, they go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of Hebrews, says. And this word is not very common. This could be the first time they are being called Hebrews. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I'll bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your parents nor your ancestors have ever seen from the day they settled in this land till now. Then Moses turned and left that guy. He left him. So the idea is, you have another opportunity to let God's people go. Otherwise, we'll bring the locusts. In 2015, which is last year, there was an invasion of locusts in Egypt. Just last year. And if that thing is ready, we can show them some locusts. Because some people don't even know what it looks like. And so we are working on that. When it is there, we will show you. So again, God gives Pharaoh a chance. And some people wonder, if he repented, would God have stopped? I believe so. I believe that God would have another way if he got away from his stubbornness. Okay. So I can keep talking. Just signal me when the locusts arrive. Verse 7, Pharaoh's official saying to him, how long will this man be a snare? Behold the locust. Okay. You see that it is not a far-removed thing to have locusts in this magnitude. In fact, there are other accounts that you can read about where in one case they say a swarm is so bad that if you open your mouth, they will just find themselves inside your mouth. The locust invasion are that bad. I've never seen a locust invasion, but I've seen another one called armyworms that sometimes visit us. And they were on every tree in my village, I'm telling you. And they ate every green tree that was on that thing. And I don't know whether we got any crop that year. So these are things that can happen. Let me read a little bit more, then we talk about the locust. Verse 7. Pharaoh's officials saying to him, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is ruined? Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. Go worship the Lord your God. Some of your translations say, go serve the Lord your God. But tell me, who will be going? Moses answered, we will go with our young and our old. Let's read that together. Whatever version you have, verse 8. Moses answered, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, and with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord. Okay, now you can stop. Verse 10 says, Pharaoh said, the Lord be with you if I let you go along with your women and children. Clearly you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you have been asking for. Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. I believe this is the first time also you are finding the advisors trying to talk some sense into Pharaoh. Sometimes when somebody is too proud, they cannot even see common sense. They say, don't you realize we are ruined? They are not saying that we are going to get ruined. They're actually saying, don't you realize we are finished. Egypt is already ruined. That's the tense, actually. But you can't see that because of pride. And that is something we must watch about. So he makes a bargain. he says, just the man should go. Now let me give you the Hebrew word. Ish is the word for men. And it is not men inclusive of other people. It is only the male gender that is being allowed to go. Moses says, no way. We are going, the whole lot of us. We will not settle for anything less. Now, this Moses has now become very bold. The one time he went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh threatened to whatever, he was so afraid, he told God, I don't want, this thing is not working. This time, actually a concession has been given and he says, no, we will not leave until all of us are able to leave. Like I said, Pharaoh is a type of Satan. And so, I'm not a prosperity preacher in the sense of hyper-spirituality, you know. It is the will of God for you to drive the latest car and those kinds of things. But I do believe that if God wants you to become the managing director, did I say managing or damaging? Managing, yeah. Managing, not damaging director. If God wants you to be the managing director, why settle for something less? It's like you are in an interview for a job, eh? And you feel like, I've troubled these people too much with my salary. Let me just take the 20K, all right? No, you say a pana. And what we are saying is this. Why settle for less if God wants you to have more? Whatever it is in your own personal life, but also as a nation. You know? Because there is a time I had somebody called Evans Mrima, who used to be around very many years ago. And his prophecy went something like this. Kenya, it was around 1989, I think. He said, Kenya is going to be corruption free. And we thought, you must be out of your mind. And Mrima died. But isn't there some hope somehow that it looks like we can reach a point where we can have a corruption, close to a corruption-free country? Why settle? We can say, boy, now we are better than Uganda in terms of, because that guy is not arrested here. What is his name? Besigye is having trouble. As we are better off, there is space, you know, to speak. But why settle as a country for less when God can actually give us true justice and equality? So that is the discussion that is going on, and they say that. And what we are going to say also is that don't leave your family behind. Pilgrim's Progress is a book that everybody ought to read. And don't say that I watched the movie. The movie can't give you what the book has. But if you don't understand Pilgrim's Progress well, it seems to suggest that this guy says, forget my family, let me just go on this journey. And that is not what Moses is saying. If you are, even if you are not, if you don't have your own family, as in you're married, but you belong to this family, you should trust God for your entire family to come to Jesus. And you should tell the devil, we will go with our young ones and our old ones and our children and our toshoshos. Every one of us is going to get out of this bondage. Amen. And that's what this guy was told in Acts. You will be saved along with your household. Now let's go to verse 12 to 15 and talk about the locusts a little bit more, because I saw that some of you liked what I... By the way, some people eat locusts. Lift up your hand if you're one of those people. I think it's one of the things allowed in Leviticus, by the way, to eat. Yeah. Pigs are not allowed, and some of you are eating pork, but locusts are very much allowed. Verse 12, and the Lord saying to Moses, stretch out your hand over Egypt, that locust swarms over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail. So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts. No, there be ever again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and fruit on the trees. Nothing green remained on the tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. By the way, I meant to say this, that when I took a trip to Egypt, I've always been wondering, how do Egyptians think about the Bible? You know, because they are always the bad people, you know. Don't go back to Egypt. Yeah? And I've always wondered, how do they look at the Bible? And I was shocked because our tour guide was a Muslim, but he actually had the story of Moses delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he was saying as fact, as something that has been passed from tradition. I think the Lord helped them because he has also balanced. The other thing he was telling us is that they could show us the place where Joseph and and the family stayed when they were in Egypt. I was not convinced, but they have like a place in Cairo. Apparently, there's like a church there where apparently Jesus, you know, stayed while he was there. So I you know, can't argue, but it's hard to really know where Jesus stayed. But you see, that helps them to feel they are not that bad also. So God has also balanced them. Anyhow, we also said, I think you have been saying this, that the plagues could have been brought in almost a natural process. But their timing and sometimes their selectiveness in who is affected shows the hand of God. But the idea is the devastation was very, very bad. In Joel, the Joel chapter 2, we have also another description of locusts. And actually in Joel, God calls them his army. And then they also appear in Revelation. I don't know why God likes to use those guys to do his work. But so God can use natural things to accomplish his purposes. Somebody read for us Joel chapter 2 verse 9 until I tell you to stop. No one has found it. As you are looking, we are informed that a locust can consume its own weight every day. Every day. And then the next day it will consume another, its whole weight. And so you can see how bad it is to be visited by locusts. Okay, anybody in Joel 2 verse 9? Yes, please. Read it loud and clear. Really? Those are locusts. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, thank you. Amen, that's enough for now. Thank you. But I'm told it is true that when you have an invasion of locusts, it actually covers, if you can't even see what's going on. So that's what the Lord uses. Then it looks like Pharaoh is repenting. In verse 16 to 20, he says, I have sinned against the Lord your God. Forgive my sin one more and one more time. I pray that the Lord removes this plague. And I wondered, is this guy really repentant or is he just afraid that these things are too much? And that's a good question to ask ourselves. Sometimes when we are repenting, sometimes we repent because we have been found. And what do you do but repent? Or sometimes we repent because we believe that the problems we are having is because of the way we have offended God. But let us reach a deeper level of repentance where we are repenting because we know we offend the nature of God who is holy. You know? And he says, be holy because I am holy. But it's amazing how patient God is with this guy. Even he grants that thing. He says, okay, we will take away the locusts, you know. And again, some gods here are being dealt with. There is also Osiris, the Egyptian god of fertility and crops. Now, because of time, let's go to talk about the darkness in verses 21 to 29. That is the ninth plague. The Lord saying to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt. Darkness that can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. So lift up your hand, and darkness will come. And questions have been asked, what does it mean, darkness that could be felt? And many people believe that it was what you call a sandstorm. And it has a word for it, Khamsin, that happens sometimes in Egypt and in the Middle East. And I'm going to show you an example of one of those sandstorms. But so prepare for that one, please, the sandstorm in Saudi. So the severity of this darkness is explained by three things. One, darkness that could be felt. Number two, it took 3 days, and three is a number which generally we'll talk about completion. And the other thing is that there was no activity at all with those days. Now, the darkness over the land proved that Jehovah was greater than Ra or Re, the Egyptian sun gods and all the others, Horus and what have you, because they are the one who control the sun, and here somebody above them has given them a blackout, and they themselves can't see where they are going. It is interesting to note that here there is distinction. There is light in the land of Egypt, but there is, light is in Goshen, and there is a darkness in the rest of the place. And that is an application for the Christian, the child of God, which I think Pastor Karita is saying, the Hallelujah tribe. Now, that sometimes the economy is bad. Like now, they just increased the price of petrol into 92 point something. And I don't know why I didn't take heed to fuel before, because I knew it was going to come. Now things have happened like that. But you may notice that the Lord can actually protect you from even a harsh economy, and you find you are not straining. You are actually enjoying life. Now, I think it was last year or 2014 when there was a really hard economy, but in Sitam, our offerings went up. Serious, than never before. So you wonder, where has it come from? But the Lord has shed light on those who are His. In other words, you are citizens of Kenya, but you are also citizens of another country. And sometimes the ambassador can just send you some stuff, even when you are the Uhuru doesn't have anything to give. So some people believe that you had this sand that will be brought by the wind, and it will be all over the place, and it can be felt, meaning that it makes the place you can't see far. So this happened in I believe it was 2013 in Saudi Arabia. So the things we are talking about are not even that. 2015 rather. Yeah, 2015. In Saudi Arabia. What you are seeing is like a cloud covering the whole town. In fact, there's another one. If you Google, you find one in there that happened also in Dubai. And you are driving, and all of a sudden you can't see where you are going. But this one happened for 3 days. We don't know exactly whether it was a sandstorm, but that's what is likely. Then from verse 24 to 26, we have another negotiation taking place. And here, Moses is summoned and he is told, you go, even your women and children, but leave your flocks. You see how he wants to be the one in charge? How the enemy is the one who wants to determine how much they can allow you to have? That they can heal you from the common cold, but tuberculosis cannot be healed? Insurance companies tell you that this disease, what do they call those things? That this one, you are with it before. Existing condition, so we won't pay for you. The Lord does not have such things. Amen? So he says, okay, take the animals, but leave the flocks. And Moses says, no, we have to go with these things. Then in verse 26, he says, not a hoof is to be left behind. For several reasons. One, that we are going to worship the Lord, and we're going to need a lot of animals. But the other reason, which is not apparently clear, immediately clear, is this. The livestock of the Egyptians has already died.
So the only livestock that exists is that one of the Israelites. Now tell me, if you leave that thing there, whether you'll find it when you come back from where you are going. But the other reason also is, how do you go without sustenance? There is nothing to milk. There is nothing to have meat from. How in the world are you going to supply for 600,000 men, excluding the women and children? So we are saying again, the same thing is that we are not going to leave even an inch. And in the Christian faith, we are bombarded by this inclusivity idea, you know, that homosexuality is also okay. And you know, and there's a new thing now that we are battling here called comprehensive sexuality education, CSE, and we are shown how that thing is really okay. And it is tempting for Christians, and it is more for the younger people who will be left with this kind of problems, to just say, it's okay, at least we have covered so much ground. But Moses say, not an inch will we give to the devil. We will go with everything, people, animals, even hoofs. If an animal's hoof comes out, we will collect it, put it in the pocket, and carry it with this. Reminds me of a story I heard of a person who was doing a driving test. And they were told to give something they didn't, and they failed. Like, okay, the person had said, why don't you give me something? And this guy was those radical brothers. He said, even if a shilling fell from my pocket, I cannot give it to you. And of course, he failed the tests. Not a hoof will be left behind. So that is it. I think I need to almost finish. Verse 27 to 29, the confrontation reaches boiling point. Okay? Pharaoh says, get out of here. He said, get out of my sight. Today's language translation, get out of. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you'll see my face, you will die. And Moses said that you are right. I will never show my face to you one more time. Moses has become so bold. Now, if you look at this thing, they are now reaching the level of life. And because the next plague is going to deal with who is the giver of life. And you notice Pharaoh here is threatening Moses with death. And it's like threatening Lazarus with death, you know. I can just call Jesus again, you know, and he'll pick me up. What's the big deal? I am very happy about a certain pastor from Zimbabwe. Does anybody know his name? There is a guy who's been trending, a pastor, who has said Zimbabwe cannot continue the way it is. Resources are being misused, and he has organized a nationwide strike. And one day, people didn't go to work. He was taken to court. And when he went to court, he was accused of something about trying to overthrow the government. And the court set him free, praise God. And I thought, yes, this is the kind of thing that Christians need to get in charge. And in this case, Moses was able to hold on. Let me finish, because of this thing about not a hoof is going to be left behind, by a story, a very old story, which some of you, I'm sure, have never heard. And those who had from those who had heard it, from those who also had heard. And it goes like this, that somebody, the devil came and how does the story go? The person got saved and their life is like a house. So they invited Jesus into the house, right? But then the devil said, I'll collect all my things, no problem. Just allow me to leave like a nail that I can hang, you know, something. Even those things that are there, I'm going to remove. But just let me leave that nail on the wall. And you know, before you know it, the devil came back with a stinking rabbit that had died somewhere. For those who eat rabbit. And he then, another day he went and brought another piece of skunk. You know a skunk? And he hung it. He said, I thought we agreed that you leave this place alone. He said, yes, the whole house is yours, except for this nail that you have allowed me to keep. And I just want to challenge you and I. Is there a nail that is left? That you have allowed the persuasion of the devil. You know, the devil is like a serpent. And the serpent, you know, glides and it's trying to tell you smooth and sweet words. Okay? Did God really say that you don't? And so on. So he has probably convinced you that it's okay. All your life is under God's hand. But let's just leave this one thing. Don't be too religious. You know this thing. Or have some common sense. For example, if it is porn, a little bit will not hurt you. You know, okay? It won't hurt. And whatever else it is that Satan may have, you may allow him to hold in your life. I want us to be like Moses. We are going to say, devil, not a hoof. Not a hoof in terms of the blessings that God wants to give me, but in terms of me living a holy life. I think it was either Wesley or Moody or somebody who said that he is yet to see what God will do with a person who gives himself fully to himself. There are many people, but they are giving half-hearted devotion to God. May God help us from today to surrender our whole life to him and say there is nothing we are leaving in the house of Egypt. We are taking everything, including our blessings, including our holiness, including our families. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you because by these mighty acts of judgments, you show that you are the Lord of the universe. You are the creator. You control life and you control all the elements of the universe. And the Egyptians and the Israelites have a testimony to this day that you are the God who delivers in your own power. There may be situations in our lives, O God, that we wonder, is it possible for them to be sorted out? And sometimes we wonder, for example, Lord, this healing, can it really happen in our day? And sometimes we wonder, is it possible to live complete consecration to you? And I pray that you help us, O God, to be able to be uprooted with everything that we have from the kingdom of Satan. And that we will not give the devil a foothold where he may be able to have some claim. May you help us, Lord. And as we are in that mood, I don't know whether there may be somebody who is not saved. You just enjoy these expositions, but you really have never left Egypt of this world. You've never really followed Jesus, and Jesus is the one that Moses was an example of that will take you out of the land of bondage into the promised land. Is there anyone here who would say, I'm not born again, but I would like today to give my life to Christ? Do we have one in our midst that is saying, pray with me? I pray that all of us know the Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you. May you be with us as we go to continue reflecting on your word. And may you continue to transform us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Monene. And I love the emphasis on not a hoof shall be left. I have read the book of Exodus. I had read it before a number of times, but it's like every time, especially when we go through an exposition, something just, you know, just you, I pick things that I hadn't picked in all the times that I had read the book of Exodus. So thank you for that emphasis. And I just thought I'd share this. There's this, I don't know if it's a saying or what, but it says that sin is very deceitful. It takes you farther than you intended to go, makes you stay longer than you intended to stay, and makes you pay for more than you were willing to pay. And that's just the nature of sin. And thank you for the emphasis that we are not to compromise with sin and the deceitfulness that of sin as well. So may we rise. Next week we pick up from there. We will be handling Exodus chapter 11 with Lynn Coles. She's coming back next week. Thank you for those people who've been praying for her. The last time she was here, she shared with us how her mom was unwell, and you know, she will give a testimony, I hope. You know, it's been a really great journey. For those who've been praying for her, thank you very much. And we look forward to seeing each and every one of you next week as we pick up, read ahead, Exodus chapter 11. May we rise to our feet and allow me to just say a prayer as we go home. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we are so grateful for gathering us here, for speaking to us, for giving us an opportunity to just come and sit at your feet and hear from you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that you are the great God. And this is a message that has been coming through to us, oh God, from when we started the exposition of the book of Exodus, that you are the Almighty God, that your power is unmatched, oh God. And even as you continue, Lord, to display your power even through the plagues that we are studying, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that may our hearts, Lord, may our faith in you, O Lord, be made steadfast. That Jehovah God, as we continue to sit and listen and get to know you, Lord, may we get to a place, Lord, where we know who we have come to, Jehovah God. That we will be as bold as Moses, finally became. When he started off as a very timid person, but we are seeing him become very bold because he knows whom he has believed. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that may this be our confession, that we know in whom that we have believed him. And we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto you until the very last day. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name for somebody who is feeling, you know, like they will not make it. Thank you, Jehovah God, because we have come to a God who is mighty. We have come to a God who is able to keep us from falling, who is able to keep us and to preserve us and to present to and present us blameless before the Father. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that even as we depart and as we go, O Lord, that you would keep reminding us who you really are, the same way you did with Moses. You kept telling him that I am the Lord. Go because I will be with you. I am the Lord. And I pray that we will not forget that you are our God. You are the greatest. You are the true God. Father Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you will take care of us and protect us and preserve us even as we go through the week. And as you gather us again next week, Lord, we look forward to meeting again. And we ask that you will keep us and keep us in your love, O Lord. This we pray, trust and believe in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. See you next week and have a lovely week.